Working from home?
We're back in the office.
Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Just ask your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
And Jonathan Toews now with Hossa. Two on two. Hossa has a man coming late. He drops it off. Seabrook with a shot. Score!
Heck of a career for number seven. We're talking about Brent Seabrook retiring. He says his body just can't take it anymore. Hell of a 15-year career. Should I put the poll up? We're going to talk to Jesse here in a minute. Should I put the poll up, York? The Blackhawks should retire number seven for Chris Chelios, Brent Seabrook, both. Should I put it up to see what people think?
Yeah, I think you should.
What about a neither option, too?
All right, should I put neither on there, Meller?
Yeah, you can.
All right,
you got four. You got four with Twitter, so you may as well.
Yeah, see how many angry Chris Chelios fans you've got out there, because and he played 9 years for the Chicago Blackhawks. By the way, Chelios did had over 400. Oh, but what did he have? I think he had 464 points in 600 plus games with the Chicago Blackhawks.
And like you said, he was twice named the best defenseman in the league.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he's a Hall of Famer. Oh. He's from here. He's truly one of their all-time great players. You know. All right, I'm going to put that up. Hold on.
Put the poll up. You can't vote on it, Carm, but I'll vote for you. You can tell me.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it up on Twitter right now.
And I'm not a fan of the double number. You know, that's like when they retire Reggie White's number. Did they put my name there too? You know what I'm saying?
They probably should have.
Fan favorite, John Yurkovich, right next to him. No, it don't work that way. 92
right, the
gets the
up.
Number. It's Reggie White.
Please vote on my Twitter timeline, at Carmen DeFalco. We'll see what people think. The Blackhawks should retire number 7-4. Chelios, Seabrook, both or neither. I wish I could vote. I'd vote for both.
You should have Jesse weigh in on his vote.
I'm going to have Jesse right now. Let's get out to the Corona hotline. I absolutely want Jesse to weigh in on it. Jesse covered the Blackhawks for a long time. He covers baseball now. And we'll talk a little baseball with Jess. By the way, happy belated. Happy birthday, Jesse.
Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate it.
What would you say, Jess, for Chelly, Seabrook, both, neither? Mm-hmm. How would you do that if you were thinking about retiring number seven?
In theory, I'd go with what you just said, Carmen. I would say both. Why not? Who cares? Let's honor both of them. However, if you start retiring seven, then, okay, is 88 retired? Is 19
yes.
retired?
Yes.
I mean, we can. Okay. So if we're retiring them all, that's fine because you've got to do it that way. I have no problem doing both because what you said about the Chelios people, Yurko, I mean,
yeah.
Seabrook won three cups. So kind of equals each other out in a way. He didn't have the individual glory. Chelios didn't have the team glory. So I would vote for both, but then you better be retiring all those other numbers.
And we talk about that and we think they will. You know, Hossa.
I mean, 88-19, I think you have to.
Yes.
Yeah, 81. Listen, 81's a monster.
Yeah, 81's pretty important, too.
81 was a monster.
88-19 were drafted by the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I guess those are no-brainers, right? I don't even know why I'm bringing
no-brainers. And so is Keith. Keith is a no-brainer.
Right. All these guys, including Seabrook, drafted by the Blackhawks. I love Marian Hossa to death, but that'd be the one thing. Okay, he had success elsewhere. Then came here, but whatever. I mean, I'm fine with it. Who cares? It's just numbers. I love honoring these guys.
You were around for like the beginning of Seabrook,
yes.
I mean, you know, he and Duncan Keith more than anybody else. I mean, they've seen this thing come full circle from when nobody gave two bleeps about him to being, you know, to parading that cup around three different times and the whole city wanting a piece of him.
Let me tell you how much people didn't give two bleeps. I mean, I was doing the pre and post game on the radio. Okay. Seabrook broke in 2005, 2006. Keith around then as well. I mean, nobody cared. I was given, as part of my gig, I was given four season tickets to the Blackhawks. I would give them out to people on the street as they went
awesome.
Into work at the United Center. I couldn't give them to fans, the friends or fans. I would give them to just anybody standing on the street. Hey, you want a couple tickets? I mean, why should they go to waste, right? Literally on Madison Avenue, just hand them out. And that's nobody wanted to go to the games back then. I remember Seabrook coming up. He's a first-round pick, but 14th overall. So not a name, you know, not a top five. But people around the league said, watch this guy when he comes up. And he kind of did remind me of Chelios in a lot of ways. I mean, hard shot, you know, tough guy on the ice. You know, those first couple of years, again, nobody's paying attention to him, but you could see something special. And I said to him, I went old school. I went on the Zoom today with his retirement thing when he addressed the media. And I asked him about Duncan Keith, because those two will be forever linked, just like Taves and Kane. And I kind of think of Sharp the same way. Taves, Kane, Sharp, forever linked, but especially Taves and Kane. Seabrook and Keith, what a pairing. I mean, the sort of the brotherly thing, because I'm sure there were moments where they fought, you know, and then, of course, they just had each other's back. I remember them lockering next to each other, and, boy, they would give me crap. When I was asking one guy something maybe tough, the other guy would come to his defense. When I go to that guy, they used to give me all sorts of crap. But I had a great relationship with Brent Seabrook, as much as he would give me crap. And what a warrior he was on the ice. I mean, that's the best way to describe him, right? You guys are hockey guys.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. Absolutely. So it was a heck of a career. And I hate the fact that, you know, we sort of always have to tie in Meyer, that damn contract. It's a little unfortunate that people always hear Seabrook's name now and they think about that deal. I mean, I'm on Twitter. You get texts from friends and I'm like, does that mean they get rid of that contract? I mean, listen, we shouldn't think of it that way, because he meant a lot to this organization.
Absolutely. And I said it was a hard shot. You know, it was a heavy shot. It was a heavy shot. Yeah. I mean, he had a blast from the point, and what he's meant to, yeah, forget. Look, they signed him. It's not like he signed himself. They signed him to that deal. And injuries, what can you do? They pile up. I give him credit for trying, you know. So he described what he did last Saturday. He skated with the practice squad or whatever and got up and just started feeling bad and just couldn't recover. Did some ice fishing with his son's hockey team, and, you know, the morning after that wasn't feeling great. And so, you know, basically he decided last weekend and started informing everybody during the week. And he said Duncan Keith the whole week has been, you know, attached to him with a leash, because he's kind of been there for him during this week. So he gave it his all through surgeries and all that stuff. And yeah, I mean, he's walking away from a lot of money. You know, look at it on that end as well. He could have just kept trying to rehab, but he's not doing that. He's ending it. He's calling it a career.
All right, Jess, some baseball. So you had a good story the other day about, you know, maybe a white flag trade returning to Chicago.
Oh, the north side this time.
On the north side this time.
Yeah, make no mistake. They are selling. And I'm not going to keep on saying this for the next 3 months. I wrote an article. I've been on the radio, Buster's podcast. I don't want to keep on hammering this because I know Cub fans get depressed, but you shouldn't be depressed. They will sell, barring something crazy. And I don't mean three games out of first place. That's why I wrote the white flag thing. Something crazy is five games in first place, seven games in first place. If they are not in first solidly, they are selling, and you should be excited about that. The prospects of what they can get, you know, no pun intended, what prospects they can get for Chris Bryant and all these other guys. So 3 days ago on Monday during the marquee broadcast, Jed Hoyer was on and said, this is a transition year. He said that in the middle of a game. I mean, you can't get any more definitive than that. It's a transition year. And so you don't want them to be standing pat or even adding a reliever because they're three games out. And that's why I'm calling it, you know, the potential of a white flag trade, because the White Sox famously did that in 97, specifically three games, you know, particularly three games out, even though they were only 500. So that's what's happening here. Make no mistake. Now, along the way, You can learn about your team a little bit. Nico Horner came up today with David Ross. This is a good-looking prospect. He's 5-for-6 so far in the spring, .833 batting average. We wouldn't take that. Maybe he could be your number two hitter in the next half decade or decade to come. So those are the things to be looking at. Who is going to help this team contend, and which of these guys that are going to be free agents are having big first halves that can net you a prospect or two?
Yeah, like, has the phone been ringing up there for, you know, on any of the guys now, or is now kind of
really
a quiet time, Jess? And it'll be as the season sort of, you know, as they see, if does Bryant bounce back, and teams kind of see where they are as you get towards June and stuff like that.
The only way it would happen now, a big trade, is if somebody went down.
Injured.
Anthony Rendon goes down on the Angels, they call up and look for Chris Bryant. It would take an injury now. So I think Jed said earlier in the spring, he has basically never done an April or May trade. So this is really about July. And I was talking to Buster the other day, and he thinks the Cubs could really trade as early as late June. Like, normally it's mid to late July. He's like, if another team bites on a guy that's hot after a couple months, the Cubs will sell. And that's where I go back to their mode. Their mode is sell. Normally you wouldn't sell in late June because you might be in the race, but they don't care about that. They're going to sell when they have that opportunity. The month of March, if you want to ask what's going on now, the phone's ringing, not from other teams, but from Anthony Rizzo's agent, Javi Baez's agent. I don't know where Scott Boras is with the price. You know, if the phone's ringing, I'm not sure they're talking much more than what's going to happen to Chris over the next 3 or 4 months. But that's what's happening. The few guys they may sign up, those conversations are starting to take place right now.
If you're truly transitioning and you're making that move toward go ahead and a little bit of a rebuild, why would you re-sign Rizzo?
Because left-handed power-hitting first baseman don't grow on trees. Paul Goldschmidt at 31 is still, signed a big deal at 31. He's still producing. Rizzo is the de facto captain. He's a gold glove first baseman. 31 isn't 38. So those are the reasons, Jerk. You don't have a power-hitting left-handed first baseman ready to take over. As soon as you let him go, you got to groom and find one. So those are the reasons. Goldschmidt got 5 years and $130 million. At 31. Now, he's not going to get that. But can he get 90, 80, 90, 100? He could. What's Rizzo compared to Goldschmidt? Is he three-quarters of the player Goldschmidt is? I think so. I think he's 75%. Probably. So here's the point, though. If you think he's on the verge of the bat going out or production going the other way, then you don't sign him. But if you believe in him, you sign him. Because 31 is not 38. That's my answer to you.
Would Cup fans be okay with $100 million for Anthony Rizzo? I mean, it's not $300 million. I mean,
you have to do. Yeah. I mean, the going rate is about that. Goldschmidt signed for 5 and 130. There might be another first baseman or two that sign up long term, and you'll have a market set. So if Goldschmidt gets 130, shouldn't Rizzo get 90 or 100? I mean, I'm just going off the market. I think so. At the same age. Goldschmidt has certainly been better, but not like twice as good, right? I think he's a percentage better, and being left-handed adds a little something. I state this all the time. The number of left-handed hitters that have hit 30 home runs at Wrigley Field, juice ball or not, it's a short list. It's not easy, and it is a need on any team. Left-handed power is a huge need. You've heard me say it about the White Sox. I think they're lacking a little bit, but Rizzo is money in the bank. Now, he didn't have a great 2020, but a lot of guys did.
I'll take the three prospects I get for him.
Probably one.
You might not get a very good prospect for Rizzo, though.
How do you know?
Well,
if you tell me power left-handed bats are not easy to find, and you put more value on him to be here in Chicago, why wouldn't I put more value on him to trade him to a team that is desperate for a power-hitting left-hander?
Yeah, if a first baseman goes down in July, you can make that trade. But it's 2 months, so that's where you don't get three prospects for Rizzo for 2 months of rental at 31 years old that you may not re-sign. So that's the only reason.
Wouldn't the acquiring team be so desperate to sign the great Anthony Rizzo? Wouldn't they just
maybe
couldn't wait to throw money at the greatest first baseman of all time?
Who said that? Nobody said that.
I'm being a smart ass. I'm being a smart ass.
Go get him, Jess.
I'm just giving you the facts, the market and the facts. If Goldschmidt got 130, what do you think Rizzo should get? That's a question to anybody out there. He's not half the player that Goldschmidt.
What should he get? A Paul Arpin moving truck outside of his house. That's what he should get.
Well, anyway, here's
thanks for the memories, champ. See ya.
If Baez is offered something that starts with a 2, he's going to sign up. If Rizzo is offered something that starts with a 1 with a couple other zeros, he's going to sign up. Short of that, there'll be a negotiation that
two,
I don't know.
2 for Baez. That's another conversation we can have for another day, maybe. Like $200 million for Javi Baez to me is just too much money. I mean,
well, again, the market. Lindor is going to get like $300
million. But he's not even close to Francisco Lindor. Now, there might not be too much of a drop off.
He's not two-thirds of Lindor. Bias? I think he's two-thirds.
I think what you're looking at, when your greatest strength is your ability to apply a tag, I think you can put a definitive value on it.
I look at it the other way. Trust me, I've been critical of Bias. I think he has one flaw, one big one, but one flaw. He doesn't take walks. He's a power hitter, shortstop, gold glove caliber, tags. What doesn't he do well other than not take some walks?
Well, then
his on base percentage is poor.
I mean, the one thing he doesn't do well is get on base, it's a huge thing.
Anti-analytical player. He's the anti-modern-day player.
And I believe is, and I think I we just...
I think if you want to go in another era of contending, you got to have Baez and or Rizzo. I mean, what you really, if not, you really are in full rebuild. If Bryant, Baez, and Rizzo all walk, okay, then they'll start this thing over, which, you know, maybe they'll do. Maybe
that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, that's it.
Right?
How much are you going to rewrite? Like how serious of a rebuild is this going to be? I mean, and if you want to completely... If you don't want to completely have to go through what you went through 10 years ago, then maybe you do have to find, you know, which one of those three are we keeping. And Baez probably makes the most sense out of that group.
Right.
Because I just don't think Boris and – I think there's going to be a number from somebody else that's too much and that and Bryant's going to go somewhere.
Carmen's career OPS plus is 102.
Yeah, it's 102. I mean, he's – I've said that. I mean,
he's an average player.
He's league average. He's
got a flair for delivering a tag.
I think
I love Baez. I'm not even a Cub fan, and I love Baez, but he's not close to being as good as Francisco Lindor.
Well, I didn't say he was. $200 million, $300 million is a big difference.
That's true.
Now, I mean, and again, maybe it's 180, 190. I don't know, but it's a big package. That's what happens when you get near free agency. I mean, who's coming up that can do the things he can do on the field and even at the plate when he's at his best? He did finish second in the MVP just 2 years ago.
Yeah, he had one outlier year. I agree with you. 111 ribbies. He had one outlier year. One. You look at the totality of his career, it's been very average except for his ability to lay down a tag.
Oh, he's a great defensive player.
So we don't like Rizzo. We don't like Baez. We know KB needs to change his scenery.
I'm ready to go. All of them. If I'm going to sweep,
Philby's going to play short.
I want to get everybody the hell out of here.
He's going to play shortstop. I love it. All right, Jess.
Full on rebuild. I would be against it necessarily, but you want to wait another 5 years? I don't think Cub fans do.
This is a good conversation. I like it. All right, spirited. Thanks, Jess. Have a good weekend, buddy.
Jake Arrieta Sunday, his Cubs debut again.
His re-debut with the Cubs.
His re-debut, exactly. We'll see what he's got left in the tank. All right, I will talk to you from Arizona next week.
Happy birthday, Jesse.
See you, buddy. There's Jesse Rogers. That was a good spirited Cubs conversation.
Yeah, if we're going to rebuild, let's get rid of everybody. I don't give a rat's patootie. Thanks for the memories.
You want to start it all over?
Goodbye. See you later.
All right.
Bring me some fresh meat.
You agree with Yurko? You want the whole thing cleaned up? 312-332-3776. Speaking of phone calls being made and received, let's switch sports and talk about Russell Wilson. And the buzz continues to grow, and we'll play some sound for you coming up next that seems to indicate Seattle is active here when it comes to Russell Wilson. We'll talk about that when we return.
Have you burned so many bridges that you need to build some new ones? Well, don't worry. Alta Equipment has you covered with all the construction equipment you need to build those new bridges. Alta Equipment has 7 locations around Chicagoland, and they sell everything from new and used construction equipment to parts and service for all your construction needs. They even rent construction equipment. Volvo, Kubota, Tadano, New Holland, you name it. Check out AltaEquipment.com because uptime matters.
Carmen and Yurko.
Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
On ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Hope everyone's having a great Friday. Nice day today. I saw Tracy Butler's forecast again for about the next week. Looking good.
Ed Carm, I think I'm hitting the golf course next week.
Oh, man. How about it? Spring arriving early. Make sure you watch us on Twitch every day, twitch.tv. Download the Twitch app. Just search ESPN 1000 Chicago. See, you're going the first Midwest Bank State Street Studios today. I'm at home today. I'll be back in the studio on Monday. I'll update the web poll here in a little bit. Make sure you get on my Twitter at Carmen DeFalco and vote on that. The Blackhawks should retire number 7-4. Chelios, Seabrook, both or neither. We spent a lot of time this morning talking about Brent Seabrook's retirement and what a great career he had with the Hawks. Coming in at a time when the Hawks were completely down and out, he and Duncan Keith, and they've been here through the rebuild and all the glory and all the championships It was a heck of a run for Brent Seabrook, and we certainly wish him the best. What's the setup here on the latest for Russell Wilson? It's Diana Rossini, I believe, was on Pat McAfee's podcast. Is that right, Meller?
You are correct. And so she was asked by Pat, does Russell Wilson want out of Seattle?
I think it's their way of saying we want out.
Yeah.
Pretty clear.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to give a list of like, hey, I really don't want to cheat on my husband, Kevin, but here's a list of three guys that I, you know, if I'm going to do it.
If you were to call Kevin and make this arrangement happen, that's basically what they do.
Yeah.
Wow. This is like the whole pass, you know? But yeah, no. And I think it's a real thing where Russell Wilson is not happy there, and his agent is going to deny that they are demanding a trade. And I learned early in my career, too, you have to be very careful with the wording of asking for a trade, demanding a trade. I made a mistake with Kirk Cousins years ago where he, you know, was told it wasn't going to be a competition at the quarterback position with Robert Griffin III back then. And he's like, well, I really don't want to be here if it's not a competition, right? Because he wanted a shot. And it came out somehow as a demand, and that crushes a player, right? And his reputation. And Kirk had built such a great one in as being such a good player and a good person. And yeah, so the word demand in reference to Russell Wilson, I don't sense that, but I know there's been calls made on both sides, going to Seattle and from Seattle to other teams.
So how about that? I mean, Seattle's taking a different approach than Houston. Houston doesn't want to hear from anybody. But Seattle's accepting the calls and even making some. And look, however you want to phrase it, like, we all know what it is. We joked about it just the way they were joking about it, Yerk, when it first happened. Like, your agent doesn't come out and say, well, you know, Russ doesn't want to be traded, but if you guys wanted to, here are the four teams. Like, that's insane. Of course he wants to be traded. But you can't say that. You can't put something like that out in the media and then be like, oh, he doesn't want to get traded.
I'm sure Seattle's miffed. I don't think those hard feelings will ever go away on either side. It doesn't make financial sense now.
Right.
That's the only thing. Financial reality comes crashing down upon your head. So it doesn't make sense now. Will the relationship be tenuous throughout the season? Might Russell Wilson not want to play as much if he gets banged up? Well, you know what? I'm banged up. Go ahead and put the backup in. And, I'll get ready to be traded this offseason. I don't think he's that kind of player. I think he'd go out there, whether he's beat up or not beat up, and go out and give his best effort. I just think when you look at somebody and you know the way they really think, and you know what the club thinks about you, okay, well, sorry you feel that way, Russell. But we're going to keep you and then we're going to move you this offseason. He's like, well, I really don't like you guys, but I'm going to play because that's what I do. It's just going to be an icky feeling the rest of the way going forward between Seattle and Russell Wilson. It's just an uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah.
But you do wonder, though, too. It's interesting that she said the Seahawks are calling other teams, too.
Other teams, yeah. Or maybe they are serious.
Or maybe the four teams that he put on his list, but they're making the calls as well, which that's the interesting thing to me.
Like,
you know,
I like the point that Meller made yesterday. Like, if they work this out with a team where it's going to be post June 1st, because that's the savings then, right, Yerk? Because you've documented, you've kind of laid it out.
They kick in.
You know, if they work this out where, okay, we're going to do this, we just have to do it post June 1. Meller made the point that allows the Bears to then use their first round pick this year, which could kind of be huge, right? Like, if you're going to, if you can get it right in the first round, let's say it's an offensive lineman. And
right.
It still costs you three first-rounders going forward for Russell Wilson, but you get to use this year's. That way you don't have to – look, they haven't had one the last 2 years because of Khalil Mack. If you start trading him again now, if you trade three more and you do it before the draft, then you go, 5 years. If you could hit on one this year and you get Russell Wilson and you're a good team and you're picking somewhere low in the 20s and you have to give up a few first-round picks the next couple of years, like, that makes it more palatable, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Post June 1st, it does make it more palatable, especially for Seattle. I mean, for Seattle, it makes it more palatable. For the Bears also, because they're going to get those numbers that we had talked about. $17 million in actual salary, because you don't have to account for the bonuses that he's already been paid, is a very, very comfortable and nice number Matter of fact,
Russell Wilson.
I think he'd be getting paid less than Nick Foles, right? Nick Foles at that point would be making
21?
A little bit more money, I think.
I think you might be right on that.
So, yeah, post June 1st, it could happen. Listen, if you think Russell Wilson's the answer, and you might be, and you can find a way to work some magic with John Schneider and with Pete Carroll out there, go about the business of getting it done. Well, go about the business of getting it done.
I'd be making those calls.
If Russell Wilson was going to be the quarterback here, number 13, number 11, number whatever, not number 3, that's Bronco Nagurski's number. It's been retired.
he's not allowed to take it out of retirement.
No, yeah, it's not out of retirement. You retired it. You said nobody's ever going to wear it again. He's here. No, it's not the way it's going to work. I'm all for it. I am all for it. But you got to add a left tackle if we're going to do that in the draft. You got to bring a right tackle in unless you want to swing Charles Leno over and put him on the non-side, I guess. Maybe he's better as a right tackle. Charles Leno, every time something bad was happening to quarterbacks, it seemed like they were going right over the top of Charles Leno or to the left or to the right. So you got to have a tackle. You got to have another one. I'm all right with the middle three and the rotation that they have in the middle. With James Daniels coming back, I think they're in good shape in the middle. You just got to solidify your tackles as you move forward. And I'd also like another wide receiver. I got Allen Robinson, and that's it. Allen Robinson and maybe the young kid that they just drafted. Yeah. Was it Mooney?
Darnell Mooney.
Mm-hmm. Mooney?
Mooney? Yeah. Mooney?
So I that's what you're looking at. But it's got to be a patient play. It's a patient play. You're going to have to be patient. The Bears weren't patient last year because of the scenarios that were playing out. This year's move would be a patient play. Are they capable of it?
Here is that's a good question. 312-332-3776. Here is the update on the Twitter poll at Carmen DeFalco. The Blackhawks should retire number 74. Chelios, Seabrook, both or neither. 53% of the audience, so just a little more than half, Yurko, going with both. 16.7% say just for Seabrook. 14% say just for Chelios. And then 16.3% saying neither. So you can weigh in if you like. We got some fun stuff when we come back, including a story about Michael Jordan and his shoes. Don't go anywhere. It's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back. Sports bettors, are you ready? Download the PointsBet app now and use the code ESPN. You will get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. When you bet with PointsBet, the proud partner of Hawthorne Racecourse, you get faster bets, withdrawals, and rewards at your fingertips. The PointsBet retail sportsbook is now open at their Crestwood and Hawthorne Racecourse locations. So stop by after the tournament teams are announced and enter the $10,000 Bracket Challenge. You can watch all the college basketball and enter to win a 65-inch TV. Each convenient location offers safe and easy options for you to deposit money and make cash bets on all March Madness games. Plus, free parking, multiple TVs, and betting stations. If you're not able to stay or if you're not comfortable, that's cool. You can get in and out in no time. Stop in, place your bets. You'll be gone in minutes. So stop by one of the locations or download the easy-to-use app today and experience Illinois' premium sportsbook for yourself and sign up with the code ESPN. Remember to do that. Sign up with the code ESPN. You will get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. You have nothing to lose. Are you ready? If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
Did you miss some Carmen and Yurko?
You don't have to miss anything.
Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Carmen and Yurko, hope you're having a great Friday. Coming up at noon, it's Greeny, then Waddle and Sylvie later today. Bleck and Abdallah tonight at 6. And then at 7, Mike North and I have Odds Couple. We got a full hour of sports gambling talk. I'm going to talk to Mike about what Yurko was saying earlier, how he gave out the advice to a friend yesterday watching the Hawks game. He gave it out to him. He said, you got to separate. You got to keep them separated. Don't worry about your fandom right now. Worry about making moolah.
Cash.
He said, what you should do is back up your Hawks money line bet with a money line bet on Tampa because you're never going to get Tampa at 8-1.
Right, 8.5-1 at that time, Ken.
8.5-1. He should have listened.
8.5-1, and all you're doing is protecting yourself. You're going to win money either way.
That's right.
You're winning money either way, and if your Hawks win, guess what? You didn't win 180, but you ended up winning 130 because you just put 50 on a hedge. If the hedge comes in, you're winning a lot of money.
Big time.
374.
Yes.
Well, actually, it's it would be 425 would be half. You'd win $325 because you lost 100. You bet on the right. Chicago Blackhawks.
Correct. It'd be a nice little night, nice little payday. Takes the sting out of the loss a little bit. Great game, though, last night. Looking forward to tonight. They play again on Sunday. So let's see how these next they got this brutal stretch where they'll have eight more here in their next 10 against the Lightning and Florida. I mean, it's just a gauntlet. And let's see how they come out of it. Maybe that dictates what Stan Bowman decides to do at the trade deadline. But I can't imagine they're interested right now in breaking up too much of what they've got going on. They've got young, affordable guys, and their little rebuild here seems like it might be working. So I can't imagine that this team becomes too much of a buyer at the deadline. I saw this story today. Randy Merkin sent me this. This is pretty good, Yerk. Game-worn Air Jordan 1s are hitting the auction block. I believe they're signed Michael Jordan kicks that he once used to recruit a high school hooper to North Carolina. I mean, these Jordan 1s, like, people go nuts for them in a signed pair. I mean, I can't imagine what this is going to go for. But according to the auction house, Yerk, the people behind the sale here, Mears Auctions,
right?
There was a grandma, a grandmother in the mid-1980s who had a grandson who could ball his ass off. I'm reading from TMZ Sports.
Right.
He was one of the best players in the nation, and tons of schools, including Jordan's alma mater, University of North Carolina, pulled out all the stops while recruiting him. Legendary UNC coach Dean Smith personally visited the grandma, who was very tight with her grandson, and didn't hesitate to use his secret weapon, Michael Jordan. Of course, Jordan was a superstar at UNC, blah, blah, blah. They give you a little bit of the history of Michael. We don't need to go through that.
We know.
Coach Smith arranged a meeting between Granny and MJ, and in early 1985, she traveled to Chicago for a Bulls game. After the game, Grandma was escorted to a private area of the stadium where Jordan, still in his white and red uniform, approached her. Michael pitched Grandma on the awesomeness of UNC, passionately explaining why her grandson should play in Chapel Hill. Before MJ bounced, he removed his Air Jordan 1s, left shoe size 13, right shoe size 13.5, right foot's a little bit bigger, signed both sneakers and gave them to Grandma. Now the AJ1 ain't just any old shoe. It's one of the most iconic ever created and is credited in part with giving birth to the whole sneaker culture. Grandma held on to the kicks for 35 years before passing away. The sneakers were then gifted to an unknown person who put them on the auction block at Mears. Unfortunately, the consignor does not want the identity of the player revealed, but we do know that MJ's hard sell did not work. The grandson ultimately decided to play ball at another university.
Mid-90s.
I would love to know who that kid is.
Yeah, mid-90s.
No, mid-80s, Yerk. This goes back to... Mid-80s. So this is a kid that's being recruited in 1985. Who could it have been, boys? Like, think late 80s. Who was a star?
It was close to the grandmama. In college basketball, Indiana won a national championship. Syracuse had a real good team. You know, they had Cikley, they had Sherman Douglas on that 87 team. UNLV had some top-notch talent come through there. Was it grandmama?
That's more like, whoa. No, because that's 90s, though. You're
Larry Johnson? Well, you're getting recruited out of high school, though, Carm, in the mid-80s.
I know, but this is 1985.
85. Well, that's the year I was a senior.
Right.
In high school.
Merck, any ideas who it could
1985,
be?
1985, Len Bias is already playing then, right?
These are all guys that would have,
I feel like Bias was probably already, because Bias came out in 86,
Lefty,
didn't he?
Lefty Driesell.
Yeah.
I can't, I was trying to think last night. I couldn't think of who could possibly be.
The Fighting Illini were very good back then. Remember the Fighting Illini?
They were.
Very well.
They were good.
A lot of recruiting wars in the state of Illinois. Well, I'm not going to say that. Nick Anderson?
Could be.
Nick Anderson? But he's got to have a relationship with grandma. You know, that's your key.
Tight relationship with grandma.
Tight relationship with grandma.
I love it, man. That's a great story. But the hard sell didn't even work. The kid still went somewhere
else. Listen, Arizona.
I'd love to know if he turned out to be great.
Arizona was always good with Lute Olson, right? At the time with Dr. Tom Davis, Iowa was very good. Gene Cady had something going down in Purdue.
Yeah.
You know, Judd Heathcote up in Michigan State had won a championship 6 years earlier.
Had to be a blue blood program, I'm thinking.
Yeah.
If everybody's working like Kansas. Maybe so. Oh, was it Danny Manning?
Someone just called in and said Danny Manning. We've got a Derek Coleman.
Derek Coleman's a good call.
There we go.
Danny Manning. Boys, it could be Danny Manning. I'm very interested.
Was there a troubled relationship with Grandma? Or was Grandma and Danny Manning just perfectly fine? I don't know.
Oh, man.
Hey,
Jordan.
We've got some phone calls, Carm. I want to clean one up if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
All right, Viking Scott. The tournament's coming up. Viking Scott made a bold prediction, and I think he's got a wager he wants to offer up to the show, Carm. Viking Scott, welcome aboard, Scotty.
Hey, all right, but before we get to it, Carmen, you guys, I don't know if you heard this because it's an off the Cal Poly and Cal Davis played last Saturday. One of the worst beats ever. If you had the over, here's the story. Mm-hmm. Goes to overtime at 66-66. Over-under 135. You need 3 points. First possession, Cal Davis goes down and scores to make it 68-66. There was no more points the rest of the overtime.
Come on.
If you look it up, 443 in overtime, that jumper was hit. Nobody scored, nobody fouled, or nothing.
That's unbelievable. And the total was 135.
Like, you said? So you got your bucket to make it 134. So, yes, you're sitting there in Vegas counting the money, going to spend it poolside. Everything, and you don't get another point the rest of the overtime.
That is brutal. I didn't even see that or know of it, but that's a great story.
So regarding this Big Ten bet, Carm, I will bet a sandwich bet, and once again,
all right,
based on your guys' conversation, pick the place. I'm not too worried about a sandwich, but the reason is I just think I watch a lot of college basketball. I don't watch any NBA. I probably booked 300 games, and I've watched it all. I think the Oklahomas, the Texases are just as good as some of these Big Ten teams. I got a student at IU. I got a student at Purdue. I'm rooting for the Big Ten. I just don't think when it comes to fruition, it's going to happen.
All right. We'll have a sandwich bet on it. All right, Scotty?
We're all good. Good luck this weekend. Hey, the odds couple is hot, man. Hot.
Yeah, oh, my God. We're red hot. I know. We'll be on tonight. Thanks, Scotty. I'll make that wager. The bet is Scotty. And Scott does really watch a ton of college basketball. Yeah. I know that. Viking Scott loves it. And he watches a lot of it. He gets excited for the tournament.
He's betting that no Big Ten team makes the Final Four.
Right. And I said, I'll take that bet. I said, I'll go ahead, give me the field, and I'd be happy to wager a sandwich.
And it's a sandwich bet for the crew here, and then you got to buy for his crew at his workplace. And there's only four people there.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah. So there you go. I like it. What a wager, Carm. Needed to get that one in. I like it when you're gambling. And then we're having Mike North on next, which is perfect.
Yeah, Mike's going to come on next. I mean, like, Mike hit the bonus play again last week. Mike and I think, went 3-0 then in our odds couple plays, too. So we had a real strong weekend last weekend. We have a full hour of odds couple tonight starting at 7. But Mike will give us his bonus play when we come back next. Hey, Chicago. Lots of info out there about the COVID vaccine. A lot of it is just false, bad info. So we here at ESPN Chicago have joined forces with the Protect Chicago team to help share some facts about the vax and bust some of the rumors. And the one you hear most often is, well, I already had COVID, I don't need the vaccine. Wrong. Reinfection with COVID-19 is possible. The vaccine is still recommended, regardless of whether you've already had COVID or not. So get the facts. Visit chicago.gov/COVIDvax. We're in this together, Chicago.
Zoning out on that Zoom meeting? Zoom. Find out what Carmen and Yurko were talking about. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, Greeny is coming up at noon. Waddle and Sylvie later today at 2. Bleck and Abdallah 6 to 7 tonight, and then 7 to 8. Mike North and I are back. It is the odds couple. Don't miss it. I don't want to jinx ourselves, but the last couple of weeks we've been smoking hot. My partner Mike North did it again with his bonus play last Friday. He joins us every Friday at about 11:45 right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Mikey, what's up? Happy Friday, buddy.
Happy Friday, Carmen. Happy Friday, Yerks. What's going on, guys?
Happy All Friday, good, Mikey. Buddy.
Give us another winner, man. I tell you.
Well, I had Northern Iowa with the money line and with the spread. I call that the doubleheader, if you will. And you know what? That's one of those rare moments. You don't always get those last week. But, you know, I got some for tonight. But I got two for today, you know, I could go one and try to protect the streak. We've had 9 winners in the last 8 weeks, if you count the money line play last week. But I had 2 strong plays before we even go on the air tonight, Carm. So one play, and you know I don't pick these games, Carm. That's why my hair is gray. I don't, you know, I who would take Middle Tennessee State? I know nothing about them except they're in the middle of a state, and they're playing Florida Atlantic tonight. They're getting 10, so please, dear Lord, grab the rosary beads and take Middle Tennessee, getting 10 points now. And then, and Carm, I know you like this, Yerk, you live for it, NHL hockey, ladies and gentlemen. The Boston Bruins, who, you know, they're up and down. They can't get out of their own way. They just lost last night to the Washington Capitals, and I'm just trying to figure out, you know, why Boston's favored tonight, minus the 140, and then I started charting the game, and now I know why. So take the Boston Bruins in hockey and take Middle Tennessee State tonight, men, and everybody in radio land in NCAA basketball.
Boston minus the 140 and Middle Tennessee State plus the 10. Yeah. Sounds good. I'll see you tonight, Mike.
Yeah, we'll have a little talk about your new look.
Yeah. Special, wasn't it?
I look forward to that tonight.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right. There's Mike North at
Bruins,
North to North on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, Bruins looking for a defenseman, by the way, at the trade deadline.
Looking for a D-man? They lost Chara.
Yeah, they need some back and help, Carm, is what those guys are looking at. You know, hockey is my favorite. And obviously, Carm, you love hockey. We both play hockey.
Love it.
Did you see the old cup check that that our guy, the Russian out in Washington, pulled the other night?
You know, I heard about it because he got fined for it, right, Yerk?
$5,000 he got fined.
Yeah.
Alex Ovechkin. Ovechkin was the one that just sat there and just gave it right there, right up under the undercarriage, man. Check the oil and everything. Just gave him a wrap. He went down to the ice and was looking for the official right away. Why that isn't a game misconduct, that is an intentional.
Yeah.
You know, fight is a fight. You got a chance. Two guys are defending himself. You hit a man with your lumber in his lumber. That's a problem. Lumber on lumber violence on a hockey ring. On a hockey rink. Not good. That's not good. You don't go hitting a man in the family jewels.
You'll get no argument from me on this.
What is that's going on there?
You can't do that.
If you're going to hit a guy with a stick, you crack him across the skull. All right. That's what you do.
Well,
that's the gentlemanly way. You don't go hitting a guy in the family jewels.
The gentlemanly way is like, you know, you'll see guys often do when they are mad. They'll whack a guy in the shin pads,
right?
You know, because they got pads on, but they let you know, hey, I didn't care for that, and I'm going to take a whack at you right now. You can't, really, going after the undercarriage. I mean, there's no good.
The Tom and Jerry's,
There's no place for it.
That's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, I saw that right away. I'm uncomfortable, you know? I'm watching the wow. I got a little lightheaded, and my stomach was turning a little bit. That's not what you want to see.
Makes you a little queasy. Do you have any intention of watching the new Coming to America this weekend, Yerk?
I have zero intention of that. By the way, I've been back to the movie theater, guys. I've gone back to the theater.
Yeah, you told us that.
I've gone inside. I've watched it. It was the Morgan Freeman movie. I thought it was fantastic. You said it's on HBO Plus. Great for HBO Plus.
Max. Denzel.
HBO yeah, oh, Denzel. Denzel. Thank you.
Denzel.
Thank you.
Denzel. Yeah.
Denzel.
The little things.
I want to see that one.
Yeah,
I
that's the movie.
That.
The Little Things.
It's on HBO Max, Carmen. Do you have HBO Max?
I need to watch. Yeah, I do. Well, I have Comcast, so I have HBO Max, right?
If you have HBO, you should.
Yes.
Yeah, 4-2s were there. 8 people were there, right?
Wow.
So one, we were both all in the upper tank, okay? We had about 117 seats. There's 2 in the front row left, 2 in the front row right. We were 2 in the back. So we're in the upper tank. We're in the back, separated by about 6 rows. Then another couple comes walking in. They want to sit between us.
Whole theater?
Yoo-hoo! Can you do the math? Can you do some symmetry here? Low, high, low. Empty space on the left side. Wide open over there. I thought I was going to have to yell at the lady. Hello, McFly. McFly. I mean, let's have some decorum here.
I mean, really, even like COVID.
They finally
figured out. Were in a wide open theater, why would you ever go anywhere near anybody else?
Exactly.
I mean, like, if nobody's in there, spread out.
Thank you.
That's insane.
I agree. I enjoyed it, though. It was good. It was fun.
I might try to get back in the theater.
The popcorn was fresh. Oh, it was tasty.
Well, I might just make popcorn at home, and I might try to watch. I might try to watch the Coming to America movie. I don't know if the reviews are good or not. I mean,
they are good.
I love the first one. They're good.
Yeah, I saw Dean Richards this morning. Gave it an A-.
I usually trust Dean Richards, so I'm good. Yeah. I'm happy to hear that. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. I like the sound of that, Yerk.
Yeah, he wasn't happy with all the movies coming out, though, but that one he was happy with.
Zach LaVine ended up on Team Kevin Durant. You
saw that.
With Team Kevin Durant or Team LeBron for... I think Team LeBron's won the last three, if I'm not mistaken. You got a pick?
I'm going to go with Team Durant, and I think Zach LaVine has still something to prove.
Okay.
Yeah,
he's in the three-point shootout again, too. Everybody have a great weekend. Greeny's up next, then it's Waddle and Sylvie, then Black and Abdallah at 6, and Mike North and I are on the air with Odds Couple tonight at 7, so we'll talk to you then. Great job by Midway Jeff Meller, J.R. Strauss, and Randy Merkin. And thanks for listening, calling, and participating in the show today. And thanks to Jesse Rogers and Mike North. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy what should be a beautiful weekend, everybody. And Yurko has today's final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to open up your mouth.
Today's final word.
You had to have a last word
on Carmen and Yurko.
So that's the only reason.
Wouldn't the acquiring team be so desperate to sign the great Anthony Rizzo? Wouldn't they just
maybe
couldn't wait to throw money at the greatest first baseman of all time?
Who You're said that? Like Nobody Anthony. Said that.
I'm being a smart ass. Like I'm being a smart ass.
Go get him, Jess.
I'm just giving you the facts, the market and the facts. If Goldschmidt got 130, what do you think Rizzo should get? He's not half the player that Goldschmidt
is. What should he get? A Paul Arpin moving truck outside of his house. That's what he should get.